You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Otecheleza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akulise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Ulalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheleza Madiba's Radio.
Oredije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
And just like that, we are back like umqolo. Hello, everybody. Let me come over to work once. Why, but now to be your joy, honey. And as the weekday shake, as we always like to say, we shake it up each and every single time. But I'm not riding solo. I'm with my girl.
Of course, in the studio with Uvuyo is Uyanda Umlibo. Very excited to shake things up with this episode of the weekday shake.
Together in the room feels so calm, feels like chamomile tea.
It's very zen,
you know, zen. And as we get into zen moments, we are getting into this lovely interview that we're doing today. And you know, as we get into September, which incorporates of a lot of things, right? Our heritage, our traditions, and where we come from. But also there's so much more that is happening, right? From Sign Language Awareness Month to Suicidal Awareness Month, a lot of things. But in studio today, we have an amazing, beautiful guest. Let me tell you, her energy on the levels. She is gorgeous. She is lovely. And ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome the lovely, the gorgeous Miss Bulelwa Khululu in studio.
Boo, 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 boo.
Boo, 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 boo.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. As being mentioned, my name is Bulelwa Khululu, a sign language interpreter for the Nelson Mandela University.
Can I just say you're so gorgeous? You're
thank
so
you
beautiful.
So much.
Well spoken, my
right.
I need to be taking notes.
And just to get the episode started, we'd love to know, who is Obulelwa? What does she do and where does she come from?
Originally, Obulelwa is from the East London. She is a coder, a child of a deaf adult. My both parents are deaf, so that is why I decided to learn sign language. So that means my home language is sign language, basically. And then isiXhosa, it is my first language.
And just to get into the two topics that we're actually going to dive into today. So we recently went into the whole Billable Act that is being implemented.
Yes.
And also that what we have is the South African Language Practitioner Act that is implemented as well.
Yes.
Right? I'm pretty sure that you have a bit of knowledge about those
yes.
two. Now, I want to know, what is your opinion and your view on those bills that are implemented?
Ever since our language has been officialized, we were really hoping that we'll, by now, because it's already about 2 years the language is being officialized, we're hoping to see so much progress, not everything in 100%, but at least we're hoping that by now maybe we'll be around 40% going towards 50%. But it's so unfortunate that we're still living the same way that we're living before our language has been being officialized. So it's really not much. The fact that you can go to a police station and don't get a sign language interpreter, that speaks volumes.
Sure.
The fact that a deaf person can get sick and go to clinic and be transferred to the public hospital, and when the deaf person gets there, there's no one that understand or can speak sign language. It's an embarrassment. So as deaf people, we're still feeling the same way that we used to feel 20 years ago.
Well, is this a feeling of exclusion and segregation from the world itself, in a world that speaks of unity, in a world that speaks of togetherness?
Definitely.
But that's not there.
Definitely, because the fact that I am a deaf person and my both parents are hearing people and they can't communicate with me, that's something else. That gives you something, because how can you give birth to a child that is deaf and then you don't take any measures for you to be able to communicate with your own child. And then you expect their community to be able to communicate with your own child that you can't communicate with. That's something. It tells me something for you as a parent.
Yeah.
And you don't even take any steps of at least learning basics. We are not saying be an interpreter or be fluent with the language, but there's no way that you can even ask your child, how was school today? Or when are you going to start to write exams? And it's so unfortunate that the deaf community, it's what they're dealing with each and every day of their lives outside there.
So I guess like in a lot of aspects in the country, there hasn't been enough done to accommodate sign language and sign language interpreters as well. You mentioned that they could go into places where they'd be seeking care, seeking support, seeking safety services. And because of the barrier where there aren't any interpreters available, that's not they don't have access to that in the way that they should. So since sign language was officially recognized, would you say that there's been a change in the demographic integration of the language, especially in the education sector?
There's definitely no change. The fact that in the Eastern Cape we only have 4 deaf schools. Only for how many districts do we have? And how many metros do we have in this province? And we only have 4. And tell me how many hearing schools that we are having only in Nelson Mandela Bay?
How many do we even have in Nelson Mandela
Bay? It's only one. Which is, it's a Robin Baring. That I think this year it's their last year of having grade 12 students.
Does then now mean that,
it's deep.
What happens
it's deep
to my
to
child?
That. Yeah. It's deep like that. We only have 4, and remember, each and every deaf student must get that education. That is why in our universities we don't have a lot of deaf students, because the system is not allowing, the educational system does not accommodate deaf students. The fact that Department of Education hires teachers that don't know how to communicate with the deaf child, and then you tell me that we will be able to get students that are passing with higher or good marks for grade 12. There's no way. Do you want to tell me that you can take someone that doesn't know isiXhosa to teach isiXhosa? No. You must be able to, you must know isiXhosa for you to be able to teach isiXhosa. So if you don't know sign language, how are you going to teach deaf students the subject that you're supposed to teach them? So as long as we are not going back to the drawing board and making sure that we are changing the educational system to accommodate the deaf students, we are still going to come, sit here, complain about the same challenges. And it's so unfortunate that the challenges that were experienced by my parents back in the days are still the same challenges that are being faced with the current generation. That tells us that there is really something not right in the government.
And how would you say the SASL differs from other sign language dialects and interpretations?
Okay, let's get this right first. Sign language, it's South African Sign Language, which is one. We don't have any sign language for isiXhosa, isiSotho, isiPedi, no. We only have one South African Sign Language, but with different dialects.
Okay.
It's the same thing with isiXhosa. Someone that is from PE, someone from Bizana, from someone from Mampondweni, someone from East London, Umtata, we are all speaking the same isiXhosa, but we have our own different dialects. So it's the same thing with sign language. It's one sign language, but with different dialects.
I would love to, because I know that particularly in the area that I've grew up in, it's not something that is spoken about a lot. More than anything, I see the exclusion and not a world that is still working on that, but rather still segregating and pushing people away and shying away from the actual necessary conversations that are there and supposed to be building the next generation of people. The fact that you even speak of the fact that your parents who were in that type of situation struggled from that type of thing is still something that is happening, speaks to the education system, the system in place as a whole in South Africa and how broken it is.
Yeah, and if I can say, it would be something that I would say is interdepartmental, if I can say that, because it affects lots of aspects of yeah, the countries.
Yeah.
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 And I think this must start at home, guys. Mm. If you as a parent, you're not playing your part, you can't expect the neighbor to play a part. And you can't expect the school to play a part. And you can't expect your family to play a part, because you as a parent, you are not playing a part. And remember, this is a deaf child who doesn't have a voice. Depends on you to speak up on her or his behalf. So if you're not speaking up, that means this generation will continue with the same challenges, with the same problems, and we will continue living in our own deaf world. And we'll always feel like when we are entering your world, which is the hearing world, something will always be strange.
Yeah.
Because we don't feel accommodated. You know how good it is to see someone that is trying to say hello in sign language. Just a stranger. When the minute you say hi and then I wave back, because that is the one thing as a deaf person I will always do. When you try to speak with me, I will definitely make sure that you understand that I cannot hear you, which is I'm going to show you that I can't hear. And then immediately you notice that I can't hear, you try and communicate with me as much as maybe you'll be using gestures, not proper sign language, but gestures, just showing hello immediately. My heart melts. I smile. Because now I see a stranger that is trying to be in my world.
Yeah. And you know, you spoke of it starts at home.
Yes.
So I grew up in a family whereby someone who's very close to me has a learning disability.
Okay.
Which was the first thing to happen is strange.
Yeah.
Right? And not that it's even strange, because it's been a thing in generations.
Yes.
But people don't or didn't know what to call
it. We're
not aware. Yeah. Right? And now my mom had to learn how do I then show up? Because I'm not used to this world. How do I then become a parent that is present? How do I help this child who is vulnerable in this moment? So now I want to know from you and your perspective, what would you say to mothers, caregivers, anyone actually, who is taking care of a child that is in that vulnerable state? How do you, what's the first step of them showing up and them actually helping that child?
First of all, stand up for your child. Fight for what's right for your child. At least now, guys, we are not living in the same old generation. Everything is out there.
Yeah.
You just need to go and do research.
Yeah.
We have iPhones, we have phones, we have internet, we have everything. Like, accessibility is everywhere. Back in the days, old people used to hide their kids. It doesn't matter if what kind of disability your child has. But you will hide your child because you don't want your neighbors to see, because now it's going to look like it's a bad luck and whatnot. For example, I stood up for my parents. Everyone
from
knows.
From a young age.
A very young age.
Wow. Sure.
I stood up. I think fortunate for me, because I'm a firstborn at home. Back in the family, when they are having a family meeting, and they are sitting there discussing, and I'll say, guys, don't forget that my mother can't hear you. Make ways. I'm not going to interpret, but make ways for you to accommodate your my family, mother. Because this is the firstborn of this house. So you, and one of the things, as much as I'm having deaf parents, one thing that I told myself is that I will make sure that hearing people feels how my deaf parents felt since in the young age. On my wedding day, when I was getting married, I've made sure that everything surrounds with deaf people. My wedding had a sign language interpreter for the very first time.
Sure.
And everyone was like, okay, what's happening now? Why are we having someone at stage? Why there's drama here? I'm like, unfortunately, I was born to make drama.
To be the drama.
To be the drama. So, like everything, I always make sure that the sign language is there. There's a funeral, there's umgidi, like there's anything. It doesn't matter how small it is. I always make sure that sign language interpreter is there, so that I don't want my parents to feel excluded.
Mm.
I'm here today because of my parents.
Mm. Mm.
They are my parents, and I cannot give them less respect because they can't speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as sometimes as hearing people will feel like we have more power than, but I always respect them. I always give them the respect that I still remember on my negotiation, they were like, Lobola negotiation, they're like, okay, now how are we going to speak? I'm like, my father is going to be the one that will be sitting for my Lobola negotiations.
Oh, because now there was even a sense of...
Yes!
You know, for, he can't
for my Lobola negotiations, there was a sign language interpreter.
Mm.
So the first step, be the voice.
Yeah. Be the voice for the voiceless.
Be the voice. Mm. Research, ask people.
Mm.
Now, at least these things are everywhere. We see... everywhere.
Mm.
So there's no way that you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to take my child.
Mm. You know.
You know, just that you don't know, you don't want to take a step.
Mm.
Yeah, and we've spoken a little bit about how the government has a big responsibility in terms of being inclusive and increasing accessibility so that the deaf community can also have access to everything. But there's also a big role that community members have. You've mentioned how families have an important role in standing up for their deaf family members and making sure that they feel included.
Yes.
So how can South Africans embrace the sign language as a language beyond just the aspect of it?
First of all, learn the language.
Mm.
Because for you to be able to communicate, you must know the language.
Yes.
Just like any language.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. Just like, there's no way that you can move to Limpopo and you are not willing to learn the language.
Mm.
You're not going to get there and speak isiXhosa.
Yeah.
There's no way. Unless you don't take life serious.
Mm.
You want to be in that area, then learn the language. So the first step is for you to learn the language. We are not saying be fluent, guys.
Mm.
But no, being the basics.
The conversational.
Be able to communicate. That's the only thing that you are asking for. If you are hearing something that is being said on TV and it's interesting, try and make sure that you explain to the deaf person.
Mm.
If you are hearing some joke, share the joke with the deaf person.
Mm.
That's all we ask for.
Yeah.
Accommodate, include.
Yeah.
Is that we just want to be included so that we can stop this thing of living in two different worlds.
Mm.
And because it makes us, it makes it so difficult, especially for us who are in the two world. Because now I am in a deaf world and also in a hearing world.
Yeah.
So now and again, I must always
incorporate the two.
And it's tiring at times. I don't want to lie.
May I ask, why is it tiring?
Because I must always be cautious.
Mm.
I cannot just act.
Mm.
I must
think.
I must always think. Mm-hmm. And it's so tiring when... Sorry, guys.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's so tiring to have parents that are deaf, because at times there are big decisions where I'm not supposed to be included as a child. But because the situation is forcing me to be included. Just imagine you go to the doctor and the doctor says your mother won't be able to have kids again.
How do you then say that?
I'm being emotional because I just lost my mother in 2023. Mm. And she had cancer. Mm. And when the doctor said to me that it is so unfortunate that your mother won't live long, make sure that you spend enough time as much as you can. She can die today, tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. The cancer is everywhere in the body.
Mm.
Now I had to take that heavy message and deliver it to my dad. Mm. Even for a hearing person, when you hear someone that is saying you have cancer, you die immediately.
Yeah, now imagine.
Now you can imagine for a deaf person who has limited information. Mm. I had to lie to my dad and say to my dad, my mother is having a kidney problems. Up until my mother died after 4 days, after we found out that my mother has cancer. Only when my mother was dead, I was able to tell my dad that actually my mom had cancer. So when I'm saying that, I must always think,
yeah.
Is that deep?
Yeah.
That is why I always take it too personal.
Mm.
I will always take it too personal, guys. Unfortunately, I will always take it too personal because at times it hit home.
Mm.
It's so tiring to advocate for so many years. And there's no change. We've been fighting.
Yeah.
And we are not doing for us, but for the next coming generation. Just imagine that my mom had even passed on, fighting for the same change. Unfortunately, she had to die with no change.
Mm.
It's so painful.
And I'm really sorry that you had
It's fine.
But most importantly, can I just say that she lived a life and you were there to experience that. You were there to share moments with her. And I cannot imagine how would your life be a testimony without having gone through that. Without you now being a voice for the people.
Yeah.
And it starts here. So you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you so much.
And I'm pretty sure that she's just beaming with so much joy.
I'm hoping.
So much joy looking I'm at hoping. You right now. And just to wrap up our interview, I think my most important question is,
yes,
ever since the drastic change that happened in your life,
yes,
what is your impact now in this space? Who is Ubabalwa going to be in the space?
I don't want to lie. There's nothing that I want more than an access, guys. Access, access. As long as a deaf person will go to a hair salon just to do my nails.
Mm.
I don't need to use gestures. I'll just get there and just sign nicely so that I need to do my nails.
Mm.
Can you please do braids? I want it long or I want it short.
Mm.
And a hairdresser can understand me.
Mm.
We just want access.
Yeah.
Education give us access. If there's access, I think we'll go far.
Mm.
Because I really don't want to lie. Government is trying, but the trying is not enough.
Mm.
At least the public spaces make sure that there's enough access.
Mm.
The fact that when I go to church, if I want to go to church, I must bring someone that will be able to interpret for me.
Yeah.
We are not serving the one God.
Mm.
We just want accessibility.
Yeah.
Then the minute we have accessibility, everything will come.
Mm.
So for me, so far, there's nothing that I'm pushing for other than access and making sure that this generation is having a better future than the older generation.
Yeah. And I think you're doing that already. Thank you so much for sharing your voice and being the voice for the people. I know that you really are making a mark already.
Thank you.
And that is enough for you to know that you really are doing it. It starts with little platforms like this.
Yeah.
And I know that it's going beyond and beyond and beyond. Mm-hmm. More than anything, we wish you all the best on your journey. Thank you for joining us and thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Now I need to learn how to say thank you.
Yes.
Because I am a lovely person in studio, I decided to bring one of our Nelson Mandela University
students. So gorgeous.
So, Apila will teach you how to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much for being
here. Such an amazing conversation. We've learned so much. And wow, you really empowered us and taught us a lot and brought light to a lot of issues.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And just to get into our first segment of the day, we are talking all things the South African Language Practitioners Act implemented. Girl.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oof, I don't even know where to start. First of all, it is amazing. So I am very interested in linguistics, first of all, and I think that language and communicating is a very important aspect for people to empower themselves and for people to be able to represent themselves. So seeing things like this coming into play in the current climate of the world is amazing.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, what took us so long to get to this point?
Right?
What took us so long to get to this point? I mean, even after like the interview that we had, right? Mm-hmm. It's talking all things about inclusivity. Why do we have to fight so much to actually be able to get all the access to the things that we're supposed to be having?
Exactly. And it's things that are sometimes things that people overlook, like having access to be able to communicate at a hairdresser, asking for help at a supermarket, and really important things like healthcare.
Radio. Just to get into our first segment after the lovely, beautiful interview. Listen, we're bringing you all things language. As we all know, it is Heritage Month, where we embrace our traditions, our roots, and where we come from, which also really is very different for people.
It is. Right? It really is.
But the whole concept of the station this year, or this month rather, is going back to our mother tongue and making it cool. What has been your relationship when it came to really your mother tongue and language in general? Yeah.
So it's different because I think that growing up, I was a part of different communities that had different core values. Obviously, my home language is Xhosa. I went to a school where we weren't really allowed to express ourselves in Xhosa. Not that we weren't allowed to. We weren't allowed to. It was forbidden. So growing up, I think it was a bit difficult having to have ties to my mother tongue, to my culture, and then coming into a space where I'm spending most of my time, where I'm being encouraged to only communicate in English.
No, that's very true. Because actually, I had the same problem. I think it's a problem.
It is a problem.
It's a problem in two aspects. One, your family thinks ubana wena uyayitshela.
You see what I mean?
Or wena because you are not speaking isiXhosa sakho or isiTswana sakho or isiZulu sakho, but not understanding the fact that these schools that we actually go to are promoting English, which is not bad thing. Right? It's not a bad thing. Because that's how the education system is like right now. To a point whereby in primary school, actually, I'm not even going to say the name of school because I don't want to be getting like, you know, because I don't have money like that right now. But like they used to make us pay every single time we spoke in isiZulu. So I went to school in KZN. And so every time you spoke in isiZulu, because you're supposed to be speaking in English. Then you'd pay R1. So imagine if when you just used to isiZulu, how many times are you going to be paying money? You know?
Also, like what that does as you're growing up. But okay, when I express myself in this language, there are certain consequences. I know, like as a 5-6-year-old, myself, I didn't quite understand why they were doing it. So the message that kind of got relayed was, no, English is the way that you should be speaking. Yeah. These are the things that you should be doing. But when I go back home to my community, it's like the exact opposite.
And I think this is why we have to talk about these things.
It is.
Especially this month. It's to, one, educate even the elders as well. Because the elders think, no, we're not keeping traditions. But it's not about that. It's really about the fact that this is the education system that we were exposed to and how it affected us. So they should come from a point of understanding us as children or this generation right now, but also at the same time educating us as the children that are in this education, this generation right now, that in as much as this is how we're incorporating everything, but don't lose essence of who you are.
You have to take it.
How do we do that?
You have to take it upon yourself to learn the language. That's the only way you're going to get accustomed to it. Yeah. You're not going to learn isiXhosa by not speaking it, by not, you know, trying to find communities where people speak to each other in isiXhosa. And if you're going to want to upturn and not want to do that, it's not going to help you because you're never going to learn it.
You know, and even as Bulelwa said, you know, but if you don't take it upon you, then you'll never know the language. You'll never know the language. And do we really want to live in a world whereby we don't expose ourselves to different worlds? I think it's so beautiful and so cool, like hearing different languages.
It is.
And really, like, just trying to get and immerse yourself into another person's world, you know. And just to get into the segment that we're talking about today is the South African Language Practitioners Act that is implemented, right? In 2014, Parliament established the Act in the National Gazette as part of the Entity Public Finance Management Act, right? A decade later, the law has been officially implemented with the objectives to protect and promote language practice in South Africa. How do you feel about that?
It's amazing. It really is amazing because this being recognized and implemented means that people will have access to everything. Because I know most of the things, especially broadcasts, informational, educational things, sometimes they're limited in the way and how many languages it's being translated in. So I do feel like this will improve accessibility for people to be able to hear and learn things in my mother tongue. You'll have access to government and legal services. You'll have access to translators and interpreters, and things will be translated for you in your mother tongue. So amazing. How do you feel about it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the implementation because, again, going back to what has always been done, the traditional way is just speaking English, right? But then we cannot ignore the reality of the world that we live in and the fact that we're all different, different cultures, different roots, and not everyone has the same access that everyone else was exposed to, right? Not everyone knows English. Not everyone knows how to articulate or even understand English. So when we immerse ourselves into the world whereby we learn different languages and put ourselves out there with the little that we know, really, it really changes the system in drastic ways, whether that be in the education system, the health sector as well. Because, for example, you'll get patients that are coming in, you know, you need to be able, and they won't know English. So again, what was the routine? Like, you're just going to speak in English, and then what's going to happen?
They're not going to understand. They're not going to do what?
You know, then you're not practicing your job the way that you're supposed to be. You're not helping the person either, because I think, especially in the health space, that's supposed to be your safe space. That's supposed to be the space whereby you're literally your most vulnerable in that state, and you need someone who's going to understand you. What happens? I won't get assistance. Because I can't speak English.
Or you'll just be uncomfortable and you won't understand what it is that's happening. Exactly. You're just going to be given pills or whatever, prescriptions.
And you don't even know how to take them. Yeah. When should I be taking them? You see, all of those things are really important. So it really speaks to even the health practitioners. Your educators, your policemen, every person, each and every person in their own designated area is really has the responsibility to put themselves out there, learn. I think that's the beauty, though, even of South Africa as a whole, is how we have the ability of immersing yourselves in each other's cultures. So, for example, I grew up in KZN. You get Zulu people that are just like, well, once you tell them, boom, because of their,
I love that.
I love it. And in as much as it's like, oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But see, like, it's really just the little thing.
It is the effort. It
really is the effort. And I guess that's really the point of the South African Language Practitioners Act being implemented, you know? You get the visibility and the importance also that is showcased, you know. For example, Northwest University language policy. I don't know how to feel really about it. Being taught either in English or Afrikaans. What if I'm neither?
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah.
Then what? I guess it incorporates or caters for certain people.
Yeah.
Then what if I'm the black child or Puma Enokshi?
Official languages.
You know? And, you know, like, now the issue is like, okay, what about me?
Yeah, because you won't be getting the same access to the education.
Because you didn't do Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Then what now? You know? But then you get the beauty of NMU. NMU offers you all these things. Yeah. They have Isixhosa, they have Afrikaans, they have French.
Yeah.
They have English. What more do you want?
Yeah. What it is more? Really, really amazing. Like, we're given the opportunity to learn so many languages. Yeah. And it's important because it promotes people who will be going into different career fields. But it's important for yourself as a practitioner to be trained in that language. So if you're going out as a doctor or as a teacher, you're able to communicate with your clients or with your patients or with your students.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I even have a friend who texts me in Istwana, and I'm just like, Tommy, you know that I don't respond. Like, I try my best. I'm like, and sometimes I type something, and she'll be like, Tommy, you shouldn't have said, like, ow, you know,
Yeah. For me, it's always in conversations, and I really believe I can understand some languages.
Yes.
I do. If you speak slowly, I'll catch on, like, but
just be slow.
Yeah.
Take it slow.
Yeah.
You know, but we celebrate that and the progress that South Africa obviously has made in that regard. But just before that, this weekend, 4:10 in Liao.
Yeah.
Right? Billable Act.
There you go.
Billable Act. You know, I love it. I love it in terms of the fact that it gave people the opportunity to voice out their opinions.
Yeah.
What do they think?
Yeah.
The amendments that they want to make, you know? I am not entirely sure about the whole concept that they're trying to make. I get it.
In terms of?
The, what can we call it? Can we call it inclusivity?
Okay.
But do we also clock the fact that this is not really how other countries even operate? A system that is already breaking us down in terms of the public school sector, right? It's totally packed there. Let's start there.
Yeah,
totally packed. Now, when you say that, oh no, anybody can come, just have a birth certificate, honey, and you sort it. You don't even have to be South African. Just come through. What does that mean? But already we're struggling already.
Yeah.
And then you are opening this act that says, allow people who are even foreigners, don't exclude people. But I guess also those implementations were there for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, why are we breaking those things down? I get it, but I don't get it.
I get it. I think I get it a little bit. I think that there are a lot of issues that are like kind of rising up at the same time.
Yeah.
So true. I really believe that this is an attempt, like a step in the right direction. I believe that we should have inclusivity. We should have students be able to attend schools that are in the communities that they live in.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous having to travel.
Sure, dude. Yeah.
As a child in primary school, having to travel an hour just to go to school is ridiculous. But with this step being taken, I think there should be emphasis on now trying to address other issues such as the space restrictions and all of these things, health concerns.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
But I believe that this is a step in the right direction.
And of course, if people didn't know, what is the Billable Act? Like, what are you guys even talking about? So a few months ago, since the Department of Basic Education passed down the controversial Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, right? And the bill made provisions for state control of language policies and curriculums in South Africa, with prohibitions of corporal punishment and compulsory schooling from grade R. The major concern was the infliction of the bill on mother tongue teaching and learning outcome, with state power over local school opinions. Right?
Yeah.
So obviously, Mrs. Viewer was there. She said, yeah, no, we are
thinking of doing this, you know? Now, it begs the question of, is it actually even going to work?
Oof.
Somewhere, Jack said, do you know we have 30 minutes?
30.
Like, it's an emergency. And of course, people were told that this can only be brought in by the 5th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Latest date. After that, it's chai, you know, and we really hope our people spoke out. But I know a lot of people were not happy, right? Like, comments were just coming through, and people were like, why permit the enrollment of someone who's undocumented? Because they're allowing you for that, right?
Yeah.
Even foreigners should come through. Someone even spoke about the fact that, why is South Africa allowing something like this to happen, whereby if we were to even travel and go overseas, you're not allowed, babes. You're not allowed.
Yeah.
You can't just come in and say, I'm just signing up for school. And they just take you in.
Yeah.
No, with that one country. Someone even said, South Africa is just getting out of control now.
Out of control? Oof,
wow. Out of control now. And you're just messing up the system even more when the system is already broken. You're messing it up even more. But again, like we spoke about it, that there's the beauty and then there's the...
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
It's difficult because, as I said, a lot of issues that are making, I think maybe making things like this hard to digest. But also trying to think about South Africa's culture and the core values of the country and the nation have always been about diversity, have always been about acceptability and inclusivity. So if now we want to pick and choose when exactly we're talking about this, makes it difficult.
It does make it difficult because that's what we stand for, right?
It is what we stand for.
That's why we say we stand for it as a country. But is it a good thing, though?
But we're standing for it.
We're standing for it. But now we're talking in terms of the resources that South Africa has.
Yeah,
because now someone even spoke about the fact that your teachers are about to go down the drain, honey. Because, mind you, this is only to public schools, not private schools, right? You say, so they even spoke about the fact that, I don't know if you guys did this in primary or in high school, whereby now reports are being given out and you don't get the report if we're now spadalang school fees.
Where?
Ne? We used to have that in high school.
Oh.
We used to have, if I was spadalang school fees, and it was
what
very evident.
What type of school?
It was very evident. But when now? But Allah is his way. You know, now this act says, Ubana, no one is acceptable to that.
Of course.
Everyone is equal.
Of course.
No one should be made to feel as if, oh, I'm embarrassed because mama or dada or go, that's Badalang school fees, you know, all of those things. But also remember, all of those things came with their own rules, right? And there was a reason why those things were implemented.
Yeah.
Because the school has to function.
The school does have to function. It has. Is a lot.
You see it. You know, but our people are
That's
not
actually
happy.
Very interesting. I know at my school, I don't believe that you wouldn't have access to your report if your schools weren't... No, I don't think so. If I'm remembering correctly. It's been a few years, so...
Oh, my God.
Maybe a bit dusty, but... I know that students would be made aware that your account is in arrears, but I don't believe that they were allowed to exclude you from anything and make you feel different from all the other students, because at the end of the day, it's not the student's responsibility.
Yeah,
it's
really
out of
isn't.
The student's control. So it having really to isn't. Add a stressor on a young child is a lot and will definitely impact their performance, which is why we're all here. We're trying to get people educated and empowered. So now if we're increasing the problems, it's not quite helping.
I also didn't understand the fact that, like, why was it never a conversation with the parent and rather you are saying, Mana umntana, I must go back home and relay that message.
Yeah.
Why is the school not taking the responsibility of calling the parent or asking for a meeting with that parent so that these conversations can be had rather than the child having to hear, Mana, so we don't have money, ekhaya. And clearly, I'm the black sheep.
Yeah.
Maybe kweskolo, you know. Already, maybe you might even be feeling like the black sheep.
It's going to add.
It's going to add to that, you know. But these are the conversations that we have to have. And these are the conversations that are open to the public, where we say, now we're given the chance. We're given the chance to say, no, we don't want this. Mm. This must remain. Mm. This must be kept. But I have to say, this is going to be a really difficult one for them even to come to. Yeah. Because there's two sides, really. I understand the side that says, yeah, no, this is our country. This is our country. This is how we roll. Mm. This is how we should be doing things, you know. But then I also get the sign or the side that says, let's show compassion.
Yeah.
The unity.
Yeah.
The togetherness.
Yeah.
But then also that affects the system.
You know what I think?
What do you think?
I think that the issues wouldn't be as heavy as they are now if we weren't facing issues with resources allocated. I think the conversation of allowing all students or all children to be able to register at schools wouldn't be this heavy to digest
if we had
the schools were getting adequate funding,
yes.
If teachers were getting employed, because there are a lot of people who graduate and qualify as teachers, but unfortunately they're not able to find posts. So it's state resources would change a lot.
And I guess also I think that the part that's even more concerning to people really is the fact that this is public schools. Already we know the state of public schools. So why would you want to congest a place that is already in a state of breaking, already in a state of falling apart, really, you know? So this is a really huge deal. I also can't wait, really, to see what the outcome is and what the people have to say.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're even going to listen to the people.
You know? That.
But I think I love the first step of actually wanting to hear what the people have to say.
Being given a platform to express your own opinions.
Yeah. And instead a lot of people are not for it, Shame. I don't want to lie.
Really?
The people are not for it. They're like, yeah,
scrap
no.
it.
Because other countries would definitely not do what...
We're not like other countries. We're different.
But like, do we have the resources though?
We're different.
Do we have the resources?
I think that's the conversation.
You see?
Yeah. Resources is the conversation.
Yeah, do we have the resources though? And also, if these other countries were like us and had the resources, would they actually still bring us or take us in? Why can't we also have the same sentiment of saying, Kubana, this is our country and this is how we roll? Why must we just be accepting of everything and anything that comes along? So, yeah. A lot is happening in South Africa. Like we said, 10 past 4. But we also want to know from our weekday shakers, what do you guys think? What should we do? What is your opinion on everything? Really, the South African language bill that was already implemented. What are your thoughts on it? Especially in the month of heritage and as we talk all things language and going back to your roots, what are your opinions? What are your thoughts on language, the inclusivity in each and every area that we get into? And most importantly, the Bella Bill Act, because it affects us all.
It does.
At the end of the day.
It really does.
You know, we want to know your thoughts. We want you to let us know. Send through those comments. Comment down on our Instagram page. Let us know, what do you think about the state that we're in, really, as a country, and the bills and laws that are put into place. But otherwise, as we close off for this episode, we just want to tell you that we love you, we adore you, and we really hope that you have an amazing and incredible week. Again, happy September. Welcome to the new month, honey.
You know,
I saw a video that said, welcome December.
Yes, we're in those months.
You know, with those nights,
seasons are changing.
It's
vibes. OP is a bit behind, but we're slowly entering spring. He must catch up.
Come on, babe. I need you to do better, honey.
Yeah.
But it's summer. Kiss summer, boss. Okay? Kiss summer. We hope wherever you are in light spirits. You're enjoying it. You're having fun with it. And most importantly, from us to you, it's all love. And I really hope that you're taking care of yourself wherever you might turn out to be. We love you. We adore you. Elami kamongovuere to agonzwaiba. Now to be your joy. And I hope to be your joy throughout.
And from Uyanda Umlibo, it has been amazing shaking it up on the weekday shake. We hope you've enjoyed and looking forward to all the engagement to come about everything we've discussed.
We can't wait to see you again. From us to you, it's all love, my lovies. Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay. Matinos Radio.